Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When it gets down to the cities, then the water turns into a dirty gray. It's poisoned and polluted by the people as it flows along its way.
Johnny Cash. Singing Don't Go Near the Water.
Don't go near the water. Water isn't water anymore.
An old-fashioned environment Earth Day song before global warming became the everything of talking about the environment, almost, or so it seems. 212-433-WNYC for immigrants from anywhere. This latest section of our Earth Day family meeting here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Immigrants from anywhere. Talk about how the global warming conversation takes place in the country that you came from compared to the United States now that you're here. And here, for example, is Mohamed Nasheed, former president of the Maldives, speaking on our show in June 2012.
Climate change is a very real issue in the Maldives. It's not something in the future. It is happening now. We have 16 islands that need relocation because of coastal erosion. We have 70 islands that have contaminated water because of seawater intrusion into our water lens, and we are having to desalinate water. We have dwindling fish catch because the fish is not rising because of, I'm told, temperature differences in the ocean. So this is not something that is going to happen. This is happening right now. And it is happening in many, many coastal countries and in many coastal areas.
The former president of the Maldives, Mohamed Nasheed, on the show in June of 2012, saying, hey, people, our country is literally going to drown unless your country does something. How about your country of origin? 212-433-9692. Anu in Plainville. Plainview, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Anu. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day, Brian. Enjoy your show every single morning. I come from India. I'm North Indian, and the city I often visit when I go back home is New Delhi, which is known for its pollution. The amount of crud you get on your face within an hour when you land, you can wipe it out and you could see. So the mayor of New Delhi built a fantastic subway system. The metro stations are clean. Everything is air conditioned. The trains are cleaner, believe it or not, than our New York City subways are. But because of the class attitude, the learned don't have, A, as much conversation as we do here, and B, refuse to get on the subway because they associate that with the form of transportation that the working class needs to take rather than the rich and the people who found money recently. So they get surprised when I say, I'm taking the subway and I'll reach to the other part of the city way before you will in your air-conditioned car.
So,
and it's very amazing to see the look on their face. Why would you take the metro?
So are you saying that how tangible it is for some people in the new middle or wealthier classes in India to be emerging from poverty make it more difficult for them to look at the impact on global warming of the new lifestyles that they're embracing?
Yes, for the new and the emerging and also the established, because I run into a lot of people with old money and the attitudes of money and wealth and how important it is to sit in your air-conditioned car rather than rubbing shoulders with somebody who may have been a cashier at the store you were just shopping in. It's just amazing how much class dictates actions and thoughts and discussions there.
You know, one of the earlier guests on our show said there is no way that the world should have the conversation that India and China, for example, should not have the right to develop their standard of living to the same degree that the United States has. It will never be acceptable. So the only approach is to find those technologies that will kind of solve the global warming problem for everybody equally by implementing them across the board, because judging or asking people from India or China not to consume more when for the first time they can consume more is just too unacceptable. What would you say to that?
I, I don't know. I don't think that there is the. I don't think there is as much in-depth thought process, at least in the people that I run into.
Mm-hmm.
And these are well-educated people who, some of them were expats here and they studied and they went back after getting their American stamp. And even there, the conversation is not about uniformity. I don't think they think about uniformity, the wellness of the nation as a whole. I think there is a very individualized or a smaller organizational way of thinking.
Yes.
How can I get ahead?
Right.
And it's not just the new money, Brian. There are a lot of people sitting with old money, royalty,
yes,
that has converted, you know, themselves into businesses and what have you.
And I hear your
and
point.
And even there, the conversation is never at a global level or even a national level.
Mm. Anu, thank you very much. And I hear that point that you keep coming back to about old money. And Anderson in Brazil, in Midtown, originally from Brazil, right, Anderson?
Yes. In Brazil, there's a lot of conversation, like here, about global warming, what can we do, what should be done. But usually what comes down to is blaming the United States for the problems of anything related to global warming. But, you know, but I think when I go there, I talk to friends and family, and I say, you know, but look around. Are we doing anything here actually to help? We are not, because Brazil, São Paulo, for example, is a very large city. Everything's paved, people's backyard, the streets, and there's almost no patch of grass anywhere. Water, that leads to flood. There's garbage thrown everywhere in certain areas. That leads to clogged sewers, major flooding, property damage. And São Paulo itself has a temperature that's much higher in the region. You know, it's really hot. Summer is unbearable. Little things like that have major effects. People forgetting, but everybody loves to talk about global warming. But when it comes down to each one doing their part, people forget that they don't really do it. Lights are on, left on all night in major buildings, trucks and buses using old engines that burn a lot of fuel, contributing to pollution, to health. This is the kind of thing that I really bothers me. They usually want to blame the United States.
Too easy to blame the United States and then just leave it at that. Anderson, I hear you. Thank you very much. Peter in Hillside, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Thank you. Yes, my own 2 cents, I had to make an input, is I'm from Nigeria, and I'm from the eastern part of Nigeria, from Imo State. The environmental concern is more of a natural thing. We are not highly activist, or there's no legislation in, like, the government telling you what to do or whatever. It's more of a natural thing. Like when the elders will tell you, you can't waste water, you can't put garbage in here, you can't do this. So they perpetuate that environmental concern. I think it might be an agricultural thing. So you don't have like a legislation say if you do this, you get fined or you get a ticket for doing it. It's more of a natural thing. You tell the kids you can't do this, you can't kill a bird, you can't throw garbage in here. In fact, I'm from Owerri, the capital. They have a society called Keep Owerri Beautiful Society. So when you have a garbage, you don't just throw it anywhere. You have to hold it in your hand till you see a garbage can. And when I was little, even when I came to States, I would always hold garbage in my hand. I don't just throw it out just like that. It's something I can't even get to do till today. A lot of times when I was when I came new here, I was working at McDonald's. I see customers, when you give them their drinks, they just take the straw off and they throw the straw, the garbage right there on drive-thru. And I was like, wow. Those things is something you have to be conscious of. You start from homes. When you teach kids, like, you can't do this, you can't do that, they carry that with them. You don't have to legislate or have environmental activists to tell you, you got to do this.
You're not saying it's that people in America are bigger slobs than people in Nigeria, but rather that it's a family-to-family thing?
Right. It's more of a cultural thing. You hand it from one person to another. You have to do this. That's one area I think Nigeria has done well in the environment. Even though we are highly tropical, but there's so much emphasis on planting trees, on having a garden in your yard, in your house. Make your own tomato from your own backyard instead of buying it. Most houses in the urban area are in the backyard. They could grow like tomatoes. They're encouraged to grow little things you could grow in your backyard that you could, you know, plants. It's something like water leaf. We grow it in your own backyard. That makes people feel good. So,
Peter, I gotta leave it there. But great, thank you. Please call us again. And Sultan in Manhattan, originally from Afghanistan, is that right?
That is correct. Thank you, Brian, for taking my call. I just returned back yesterday, in fact, from Afghanistan, and I noted that many of your speakers kept using the example of China and India. And, of course, in between those billions of people, there's probably fairly large numbers of other populations and countries who really don't have the institutions, the perception, and the communication to even have a level of awareness to even talk about the subject. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what we assume to be a crisis, and perhaps it is a crisis, but it's also equally important to realize that there isn't a strategy or an idea on how do we bring to the attention of millions of people who are either uneducated, illiterate, and also living in dire poverty. You cannot take all these variables out, and while I agree that perhaps, as the caller was saying earlier today, that the solution is not just about, you know, talking about global warming, but we need to come up with alternative approaches. But it's also equally important to look at those that we miss in our calculation and our assumptions about what to do.
And yet I'm surprised at the bulk of the callers that we've taken so far not doing what the president of the Maldives did in the clip that we set this up with, which is saying, hey, you people in the mega-consuming developed world, my little country is going to drown here unless you curb it. People are calling up from Brazil and Nigeria and India and saying, no, the people in my country, even though we're not the big polluting countries, we're not taking it seriously enough in our own behavior. And that was not the dominant thread I expected to hear.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. And it is true that, you know, while in the world that we come from, we sure like to sort of ape the living standards and look at how consumerism works in the U.S. But for somebody who's lived in America for the last 47 years and having returned back to Afghanistan, I'm doing some work over there, it's amazing to me what distances they are between our perceptions of the problem here, as it seems to impact us in terms of global warming. You mentioned Sandy, and I was around here during Sandy. So yes, it's real, but how do we close this communication and perceptual gap? And I think that is really a challenge, much bigger than I think we tend to assume in many of our discussions.
Sultan, thank you very much for that, and thanks to all of you who called on this call-in for Immigrants from Anywhere section of our Earth Day family meeting on global warming. Up next, how oysters can help clean New York Harbor. Stay with us.